Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. I believe it was 1981. I was a junior. I was at a guy's house named Mike Howland who played bass, and I played drums. I'd pretty much been living on Beatles my whole life up until then. I was probably 16, 17. And he put British Steel on, and I was just like, what's happening? What the hell is this?
So great.
Let's do it.
So great. Now, unfortunately, like, I love that song, but that one's ruined for me because of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
That's you know what?
That's a great song, but all I hear is Beavis.
I think that's
breaking the law.
Honestly, I think it's the first time I knew of the song.
Yeah. Really?
And for some reason, that song escaped me until Beavis and Butthead. I don't know how, but it did.
And so good.
It's Friday. We can be weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was just saying to Ronj that one of my little weird things I do in my head is, can I say a sentence that no one is going to say all day on the planet Earth? Like, there's 8 billion people. What are the chances? Can I construct a sentence that no one has ever said, ever in the history of the world? And I think I just did it without trying. I sneezed really hard 3 times, and Ron said, God bless you. Actually said, you're so good looking. And I said, I think I have a tickly booger. And I'm pretty, like, no. What are the chances that anyone else
says that today? I have a tickly booger.
Well, there are all different kinds of boogers. There's, like, tickly ones. And I do think there are stinky boogers.
Like,
stinky.
Man, how'd you take that up a notch?
Because I'm just saying, I think when you walk through a stinky place, I think it gets stuck in your nose.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, I've been in a lot of stinky places, but I've never noticed a smelly boog ever.
Yeah.
I've never been just walking around going, man. Wow, that's bad.
The nursing home my dad was in wasn't very good, and it had that nursing home smell.
Yeah.
And when, like, you'd get home and it was still in your nose.
Yep. That's what I mean. Yeah. And I mean, you do that occasionally if you go to a concert, you go to an unpleasant bathroom situation. I mean, you do feel it's stuck. You can't get it out.
Well, scent is the one thing that is tied closest to memory of all of your senses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they tell you.
To this day, if I smell tar, like when they're, like, in South Alexandria, the way they build the roads is they would put the tar down, then they'd put the rock down, then they would smash it. And I was terrified of the road grader, that big, long insect-looking thing. And if I smell tar or bus fumes, because I was so intimidated as a little kid when we would take, because we didn't ride buses to school, we walked, but when we would take the bus to St. Louis for the zoo or something, I was so nervous and anxious. To this day, if I smell bus fumes, I'm just like,
Oh, that's wild.
No, that's so true. Man, we had a neighborhood that they would lay asphalt and then wait and then do the pebbles or whatever, gravel.
Yeah.
But it was like right in between that beautiful day or 2 days before they laid the gravel down, you'd ride your bike and, like, it's so smooth. Or you'd rollerblade, because you can't rollerblade on the gravelly asphalt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You only had that like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. I got caught. I was only about 4, but I mean, I know people who are younger just don't believe it when us Gen Xers say things like this, but at 4, I was free range. I was feral. I was on my own. And so I was across the street, and here came the tar guy, and he tarred the road, and I knew the road grader was coming next, so I ran across the hot tar, and by the time I got home, each foot weighed like 18 pounds.
Oh, wow.
It just picked up everything.
The dirt,
frogs,
the gum, the rocks.
Smaller children.
Did you run behind the bug guy in the fog, or was that, were you too
bikes.
Young for that?
Oh,
you
no, bike, bikes.
Yeah. Oh, behind the bug pickup truck?
We didn't do that.
Mosquito fogger.
My parents did that. They would run in the fogger. They'd be like, oh my gosh, here he comes.
No, it was a contest.
Yeah.
Who passed out? And I swear to God, it's true. Who
last
passed
man
out the
standing.
Last? Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't know they still did that. And maybe they don't now, but about 5-6 years ago, I was at my mom's house, parents' house. And I heard that sound, that familiar buzzing sound. And I thought, what? Do they do that here?
Yeah. They still do that in some communities.
Yeah.
We had a burning barrel. Which every night, the trash, that's what you would do. Like, you just go out there and you'd dump it in, you'd set it on fire, you'd burn the trash.
Man.
It was pretty sweet. Like, there was just something kind of cozy about it.
Well, it's convenient.
Yeah.
You burn your trash.
Yeah, but see, back then, I bet most of the trash was not plastic.
Probably so.
Like, now you'd just be putting toxic fumes into yourself.
Plus, if you wanted to have, like, a weenie roast in the middle of a field, you just did it. Now the 5-0 will come looking for you.
You see, like, Dave as an 8-year-old. It's 5-0. Let's go.
It's the popo. Oh, I was.
It's the fuzz, the heat.
When I first got my mini bike, I was going up and down the alley, and I got to the end of the alley. And I could make a movie of this. And as soon as I got to the end of the alley where I turned around, a police car pulled up. Mm. And rather than just, I was 10, rather than being like, oh, hello, sir, or am I not allowed to ride this? I just spun it around and took off. And I ran from him. And I just went down the same alley, so it didn't take, you know, Matlock to figure out which house I was in.
Right.
And he came and knocked on the door, and it was like, you, Rach, when your teacher threatened to bring in a handwriting analyst. Yep. I just thought, I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm going to prison
going
for the rest
jail.
Of my life.
This is over.
And the cop was laughing. He was just like, son, you don't need to run from me. I just want to make sure you don't cross the road.
Oh, your instinct as a 10-year-old
run from
the cops.
Just dumped the mini bike and ran inside.
How cute is that, though? Like, if you're the cop, this little boy on his little bike is like, ah!
Get out of here.
Hey, man, in South Rexana, you know.
First ever police chase in history. No helicopter at the time,
just
though.
8-year-olds.
Yeah, he was able to find me by my still running mini bike in the yard.
He stitched the bike.
He's in the house.
He's running through the yard. This kid is fast.
I think he's with his mom.
He's so fast.
My mom was like, what got into you? I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
I'll tell you what. I do have this, you know, those things that you have like a weird desire that you're never going to do it. But I kind of want to know what it's like to run from the cops.
I feel you.
You know what I mean? Just if it were
interesting,
sanctioned.
I do not want to know that.
If it were sanctioned and safe, I'd kind of like to know what it's like to just speed away.
You know about my...
If it were sanctioned
and speed away.
Like,
yeah, two things that it by nature cannot be.
Like, if you're a really rich guy and you just set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just want to take off.
But it's not...
I'd like to run from you.
If it's not real, it's got to be real.
It can't be real.
Yeah. I can't stop today.
Yeah. You can't tell me that part of you doesn't want to know.
I don't want to know.
You know my weird thing with that? So I am compelled to do things I'm not supposed to do, but the dumbest things, not like rob a bank or something that might profit me. For example, one of the worst ones was when I was in the chemical building, they had an old elevator, and the space between the elevator and the wall was probably 2 inches. Yeah. And every day I thought about throwing my clump of keys down it, and I finally did it. I just tossed it, and it went all the way to the bottom. And I had to go to the superintendent and say that I had dropped my keys, and it took us like 2 hours to find it and all the rubble, and I did it the next week again.
On purpose?
On purpose again.
You know, I always want to know what it's like to drop your keys down that little crack in the elevator. The crack between
the
floor
and
the... That's it. That exact thing?
That's the exact thing. I've lived it. Another time, I was meeting Maureen at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, and it was a beautiful summer evening like this, and I was sitting on a bench, and I had a big clump of keys again, and a bus pulled up, and it stopped and let people out, and I threw my keys as hard as I could at the bus. And the guy started pulling away, and he stopped, and he got out, and he goes, do you see what happened? Did someone shoot at me? And I'm like, I didn't see anything. And then he drove off.
What compelled you to do that?
Just how weird it would be to do something like that. I talked about this on the air in my first couple years on having the show. And people called in and said, I have the same thing. And a lady said that she is a water skier and she was skiing like in the Ozarks. And she thought, what if I just ran into the dock? And she did. And then another.
Well, that feels like that was a bad decision.
Yeah. And another guy was picking up a girl for a date after a snowstorm, and he threw his keys into a snowdrift before he knocked on her door. And he had to come clean and say, look, I just threw my keys into your snowdrift. And they ended up getting married.
That's how long it took to find the keys?
Probably.
It took them all that time, and they're like, you know what? We should probably just hang out forever.
Oh, my gosh.
I was at the bowling alley on Olive. I think it's called Olivet Bowl. And
Bolero?
Standing up, is that what it's called now?
Probably.
Anyway, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I I wanted to throw my keys on top of the awning.
You feel it. You've got
it. Over the door. And I did it.
You've got a touch.
You did?
Well, I didn't. Okay, so I was thinking about it, and then I just started tossing my keys in the air and catching them. And then I got a little too close, and I threw them up there.
Flew
so
a little
I think
too
I,
close to the sun.
I think I did it on purpose, subconsciously.
Yeah.
So wait.
And then they had to go get a ladder
really?
And come out. Yeah. This was like 20 years
my
ago.
My most damaging one I ever did, I was working in the One City Center building as an attorney, and I had a really good friend who was on the next floor at Glennon & Company. Katie Jamboretz, her dad, Glenn Jamboretz, had this four-floor marketing company with like 300 employees, and my buddy worked there. And someone had been harassed in the parking lot, and so our law firm bought everyone mace. And I had just visited him, and I was getting back on the elevator, and it was taking a long time to close, and I just pulled my mace out, and I sprayed it, and they had to evacuate a floor. And my buddy Holtkamp called, and he's like, this just happened. He's like, meet me downstairs. We'll get a drink. I'm like, dude, I did that. It's like, I should have known you did that.
Did I tell you when I was in college, and I was in my...
Listen to this. It's incredible.
It just keeps making me...
There's just more and more.
There's more. I was at my neighbor's, his room, and he had a can of hairspray and a lighter, and I'm just sitting... I need to make a blowtorch. And I did, and we let it run for about 10 seconds, and it was fine. And then it must have... The fire alarm must have detected it, and the entire building's fire system went off. And we had to evacuate.
Including, the water? You mean it dumped
the water? No, the water didn't come out, but just the fire alarm. Yeah. So everybody had to evacuate, and it was, 12 floors of people.
Yeah.
And we were like, we have to get out of here. Because we thought they would figure out what room it came from, so we got in his truck and we left.
You always think that they have greater technology than they do.
Yeah, they definitely know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I was, 19.
There was not much worse than that in college. 3 a.m., somebody sets off the alarm and everybody just trudges down and stands out in the...
Now when my fire alarm goes off in my building, I don't leave.
I'm so lucky. I've had such an interesting life. We played this song in the band, and we'd only pull it out at gigs where at the end everyone was super drunk and having a great time. Then we'd just go,
Then everybody goes wild.
Yeah. Everyone just goes crazy. So much fun. I got to sing Judas Priest.
I know.
In a band with Jimmy Griffin.
That's pretty good.
Who gets to do that?
Not you.
That's so cool. That's so much fun. I'm so eaten up with anxiety, but then sometimes I'm just like, what do you... You have the coolest life. Been able to do so many things.
Jimmy's playing tomorrow at that Pines Fest.
Yeah, it's Pines Fest.
Yeah.
I think I might go check that out. See Steve Ewing play. I was talking about when I was running from the Popo in my mini bike. The mini bike... And my Schwinn Varsity 10-speed, red on red, were probably my two most prized possessions. When I look back, you know how, who is it, Marie Kondo? Does this thing give you joy? What object have you gotten the most joy from? Those would be my two. How about you guys?
When we're kids?
Yeah, it could be if you got something today.
If I'm going with the kids theme, though, it would have been... It would have been my glove for sure. My baseball glove was number one. I took care of it like it was my baby.
Yeah, it's sacred.
I still use and have, and is in the glove I have from high school is in great condition. Like my fielding glove. Catching gloves are all beat to hell. They don't last because when you catch, they get beat up. The other thing, would have been my red line bike.
Mm.
That was kind of right below the Mongoose. It wasn't the top of the line, but it was still cool enough to be cool.
Yeah.
The red line one was cool. It was a good color, too. Dark, candy apple red.
Did it have a shifter? Was it a multi-speed?
No. It was a straight-up dirt bike.
Gotcha.
It did have the handbrake, though, which at first was...
Yeah.
A couple times, you're going ass over elbows over the front.
Yeah.
You've never done that before.
My Mongoose got stolen off my porch when I was a kid.
Aww.
I hope the bastard who stole it is dead.
Yeah. that would be nice. Good payback.
I love that bike.
So
you were rich then because you had a Mongoose.
No, it was I don't know where we got it. It was a hand-me-down Mongoose.
Oh, okay. But still Mongoose, though. Those are good.
Yeah.
I hope the bastard that stole it is dead.
And I hope it felt awful when it was happening to him.
Man, wow.
You stole my Mongoose.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
Better get in me.
Better get in me.
Oh, that girl is the best. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, really?
This girl, this young British girl, is so mad at the ice cream man for like the ding ding man.
Yeah,
and it was super expensive, and she was so mad. And she's like complaining
she's
to
like
her mom.
8 years
he
old.
He wants $20 for two. It's like she's going in on like a ripoff, and then she looks back where he is. She's like, I bet he can hear me.
It's so like, great.
Bloody
and
hell.
It, bloody hell.
Bloody hell.
Awesome. I stood there with Mukesh. Bloody hell.
It was so great.
Better
I love that girl.
Me.
Yeah.
He's getting nowhere with that.
And the look on her face, man. She would just, I wouldn't want to, that I would be afraid of that little girl.
She looks exactly like, people have said this, she looks exactly like, is it Emma Watson in Harry Potter?
Kind of, yeah, younger, the young, but like way young version.
Way young version, yeah.
Cute.
Anyway, I hope that mongoose guy hears me. If he's alive.
I think he went down another step with Rach over there. She looked pretty horrified at that.
Yeah. No, he didn't go down. I was just like, all right, fine. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, it wouldn't be possible. Wouldn't be possible to go down another step.
That was my mongoose, Rachel.
I understand.
I've
and
never heard of a mongoose.
I appreciate your passion towards it. I just, for, what was this, 30 years ago?
Yeah. I'm not over it.
The hate is all strong
right,
in this one.
It was 40 years ago.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. There are things like that I would feel that way
17.
About.
No, it was 40.
My bike got stolen by the kid who lived two houses down from me.
And you knew it?
I mean, we found the bike.
Oh, okay.
And did he say, that's not yours?
It was right there, basically. Yeah.
I got a new bike.
He's like, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing, but it's called Finders Keepers.
Yeah.
And it's my in
name's
my
on it.
Now.
That's why you write your name on everything. I know somebody who in high school still was had their name written on their underwear by their parents.
No, come on.
Yeah, it was a woman.
That's not true.
Girl. It was a girl. Yeah.
There was a woman in your high school?
Well, she's a woman now.
That's called a teacher.
Yeah. Dad would buy underwear and still write her name in it.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Amy, this is the song, no kidding. When I was about 11, a girl wasn't picking up what I was putting down, and I went home and put this on and just, like, fantasized that one day women would want me.
Aww.
It was very sad.
Was that when you had the gorilla mask?
Yeah, it was. It was.
That's so sad.
And that's all I had, if you know what I mean. Me and Cornelius.
Oh. It's honestly not a bad bit for a kid, you know?
What's that?
The Cornelius mask.
It was.
Yeah.
It didn't
work?
No favors. Oh. No.
She just didn't have a sense
of
humor.
I was out there with my monkey mask, nunchucking, and girls... cheerleader shoes and amazed that this is not what women wanted. Amazed.
At the time, if you chucked the other things, the nunchucks might have worked.
Maybe.
At what the time, they were a big deal.
I think I was a bit thirsty.
What was appealing about the cheerleading shoes? I've never quite gotten
that
one.
I was best friends with a girl named Stacy, and she had these shoes that were blue and white leather. I think they're called, I don't know, saddle shoes, maybe?
Okay. Oh my gosh, yes, saddle shoes. I
pure,
forgot about saddle
yeah.
shoes.
Pure girl.
Yeah.
But I also gave tap dance lessons in my basement along with karate lessons, and it had a little heel on it, and it really worked. Heel, toe, heel, toe, heel, toe. And so she just gave them to me, and I liked them. And I was weird and super weird, and I just wore them every day. Here's the thing about me. I'm probably still like this. The things I do that are the least attractive, I'm doing on purpose because I think they're the most attractive.
Yeah.
So I thought that wearing girls' leather saddle shoes would really put me over the edge. And I was nunchucking, and I had my Planet of the Apes mask, and boom! Yeah.
What's Sam Ranch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Except, I had saddle shoes.
I've seen. I didn't know what they were until I Googled them. Yeah. Like, but the white.
Except they had a bigger heel, and the heel was blue. Yeah.
White in the toe and the back.
Yeah.
And there was about a 16-year-old girl who delivered the papers, and I would go out there and wait for her to ride by, pull down the monkey mask, mm-hmm. start nunchucking, and do a little heel-toe shuffle, and she just would start riding faster. And I just, and yeah. the funny part was, I remember just being like, what is it you want?
Right.
What would please you?
That's a lot of, I mean, that's effort and skill and creativity. Commitment.
Confidence.
Huge confidence.
The saddle shoes are hard for girls to wear, much less for boys to wear.
Yeah, they look uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, those are the shoes you wear with, like, homemade dresses. Like, our grandma. Like,
the socks that fold over with the lace.
With the lace.
Yeah. I might have tried it.
I had homemade dresses. My mom had ladies in my church make me homemade dresses, and they were... I mean, they were fine.
Well, you probably were really into that.
I did like it. I also had like a accurate-ish like 1800s dress that I would wear. I would put that on and then read
Amy's
my Little
jealous.
House on the Prairie book.
I am jealous. I never had that.
It was fun.
But it is like when you look back now, you think of how special that is and that those ladies did that. So my grandma was a seamstress. And so there were three sisters, right? So she sewed all these dresses on Easter and on Christmas. We all had matching handmade dresses, and they had the big, like, collars, you know, like the lace collars. And I mean, looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, my grandma spent all that time making us dresses. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
sweet.
Really special. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had, when I was in probably fourth or fifth grade, old enough to know better, I had St. Louis Football Cardinals PJs. But they were yellow, and they fit tighter than my skin does now. And I thought I looked so good in them, and I would wear them to school and get sent home. So then I started just putting them on under my school clothes, and I would leave my school clothes in a bush. And I'd just show up in my PJs. And they'd be like, Mrs. Glover, can you come get them again? And I'd just be sitting there at my desk wearing my pajamas, like, drink it in, ladies. Drink it in.
What happened to your clothes in the bush?
I'd have to go get them.
You have to go get them?
Yeah. Put them back on the way home. I used to leave school all the time in like first and second grade because I'd ride my bike there and I would just be sitting there. And I was so overcome with the thought that my mom was sad because she missed me. Mm-hmm. And I would just get up out of my desk, go get the bike out of the rack, ride it home and just go walking in like, hey, lady. She said, why do you keep doing this?
That is adorable.
And I finally told her, I'm like, I just feel like you miss me. And she was like, Dave, let me be honest with you for the first time in your life. I don't miss you. I'm glad to see you come home, but a little no Dave time is good.
Say, we need some mommy time.
Yeah, a little mommy time.
Be alone for a little while.
But I would just, my little heart would be breaking. Aww. I'd just be sitting there thinking, oh my, I bet she's just crying her eyes out.
That is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Oh.
Oh my God, is that adorable?
That was a mess.
Mom, I know you missed me.
This didn't help either. You brought up that you guys wouldn't shower like in junior high. Here's, swear to God.
Oh, gym class, yeah.
Anyone that went to Roxana in the late 70s and early 80s can corroborate this. So, like, especially in seventh grade, because it's brand new showering and being naked in front of people, and it's jarring. And so to make sure that you did, the football coaches, PE coaches, would stand outside the shower with a clipboard with everyone's name on it, and they would check your wetness. And if you weren't in the shower long enough, you would get a swat on the butt with a wooden paddle with holes in it.
Oh,
now, if that's not serial killer steroids, I don't know what is. Like, that happened every PE class.
And probably all over the country.
Probably. So you'd be in the shower wanting to be anywhere else in the world, wanting to be there the least amount of time possible, but you have to be wet enough so that you pass the test when you walk past the PE coach.
Would they at least let you put your clothes back on before they swatted you?
I don't know. I never got swatted.
Oh, my
Dave's
God,
like, I'm not finding out.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do that at all. And nobody did. Nobody showered after gym class in junior high or high school.
How about you guys?
Well, my junior high was so small, we didn't have a gym or a locker room or anything.
Or
so we didn't do anything but like recess. That was our gym class.
This is also a big thing in St. Louis. If anyone did this, you can call me at 314-436-7900. But there were several schools, especially up north, where you would swim naked. Like that was
a normal thing for a long
wasn't
time.
Wasn't the Missouri Athletic Club? Didn't all the guys swim naked?
I didn't want to say that because Tom Ackerman might come after me.
Yeah.
But that's what I've always heard.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it is. Like it was like when it was a men's only club.
Get Ackerman on the phone.
What?
No, that was a thing in school for a long time.
What? What planet are we on?
I don't know.
This happened?
Yeah, not co-ed though.
No, not co-ed.
Right.
Let's see.
What is this confidence Wheeler has? You didn't even live here until you were like 35.
It happened in Michigan too.
At the Missouri Athletic Club?
Yeah.
The Michigan Athletic Club.
No. I mean, that happened in high schools. My parents used to, I think they did that was like my parents' generation. Like the 60s high schools would be like, yep, that's just what we're doing.
Yes, but why?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, what was the rationale?
So that they didn't have to bring bathing suits? I don't know.
It doesn't seem like a great effort.
No, it doesn't. It does not seem like a smart thing. Right,
okay,
right.
From the Riverfront Times, at the Missouri Athletic Club, men persisted in swimming nude in the lap pool and retained sole privileges to the athletic facilities until the 1990s.
90s?
Wow.
So Ackerman did.
Yes, he did. I have to know why.
What do you mean you have to know why?
What's the rationale behind it?
Probably like they're like, this is what the Greeks did.
Okay.
You know how
but
they
did
are.
They?
You know how they are about the ancient Greeks. Let's talk to Jim on line one here. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I graduated from Lindbergh High School in 1981.
Yeah.
And our gym coaches and football coaches, they stood there and checked us off, made sure we showered, checked us off. We came out there naked.
See? What? See? Jim and I are not normal because of this. Thank you, Jim. Yeah.
Are these the good old days that people
talk about?
I mean, they are. Yes, that's exactly right.
When we were kids, we got checked for wetness.
Yeah, by the gym coaches.
And we liked it. God.
We liked it just fine.
We saved our money to join the MAC and we took our clothes off.
What?
And we loved it.
Yep.
All these sissies with their pantaloons.
Yeah.
Their board shorts.
What in the hell?
Barrett, son, you belong to the MAC now.
Come over here. I'm going to check you for wetness.
Where you think you are, the racket club?
Lord. Like, there's part of it. It had to be a convenience thing, right? Like, oh, darn it. Don't have a swimsuit, but I really want to go swimming.
I don't think that's it. And every day, everyone forgot.
Every day, it's like, oh, darn it. It happened again.
Oh, well.
If only there was some solution.
I guess it's okay if we all do it.
Yeah. It's only weird if it's just one.
It's only weird if it's just Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I guess we can take our clothes off.
I mean, the only alternative would be just not swimming today.
You gotta swim.
Huh.
You guys see the Seinfeld episode, Kramer's taking too longer to shower? He's taking too long to shower, so he's going down to the gym to study other guys showering, and he's got the clipboard. The guy's like, what are you doing? He goes, don't worry, I'll get to you next. That's what, like, I don't understand the rationale. It's not that hard to put on swim trunks.
Yeah.
And it's not an inconvenience.
Would you be like more self-conscious swimming backstroke?
It looked like a shark coming down the water.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Oh, man.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
Or a dolphin.
We're jamming today. Love it. 150 DGS. Happy Friday to you. Let's talk to Andy on line one. What's up, Andy?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, man.
I just wanted to call and comment on the naked swimming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm 71, and back in the mid to early 60s, we used to catch the bus and go to the YMCA, and we'd swim naked there.
What do you think it was, Andy? What was going on back in the 60s and 70s?
I know my parents could afford a suit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Right.
I don't know what it was.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
You want to spice it up? You should ride the bus naked.
Don't do that.
I'm telling you, man. People, they didn't want to find a solution. Just naked.
Which is funny, though, because then, like, decades before that, the old-timey swimsuits looked like suits. They were pants and suspenders.
That was only for the beach.
We had a real...
At the indoor pools,
Andrew,
you just
you missed a nice moment on the break.
Mm-hmm.
You miss a lot of Amy going off on Ranch. And this is Rush Week, and Phoebe's front and center for Tri-Delt. And coming up is Shark Night, where it's horrific, where you take your little sister around to the fraternities, and you're basically judged. And Amy goes, yeah, Ron, if you were doing that back in the day, you'd have had a big old-fashioned Ugo horn.
Andrew's like, no. Come on, Andrew. It's true.
She got me, man.
He would have thought it was charming and unique.
Well.
What would you
look, hey, I'm a respectable gentleman, so.
He'd have had a gong like the Gong Show.
Nope. What's that? There's a video that goes around of like four or five women lined up and they all have a balloon. Okay. And a guy comes around the corner, and as soon as they're uninterested in the guy, like, he'll start talking and they'll ask him questions, and as soon as they become disinterested, they pop the balloon.
That's wow. So mean.
I don't know what that's from, but I keep seeing it on the Instagram story. There was one, a guy turns the corner, and all of them pop the balloon right away before he even opened his mouth.
I would love to see that for real, because we all know the feeling of talking to somebody, and they lose interest in what you're saying, if they ever even had it. So I would love to see in real time, like me, I don't know, yapping my stupid garbage. And then somebody, like, I want to see the exact moment when somebody
becomes
like,
disinterested.
I'm out. Yeah. I can't. I'm done.
What was that?
Oh,
sorry. I couldn't resist.
So the girls all have a balloon and they pop their own balloon?
Yeah. Like it can be as soon as they see him, or he starts talking, he introduces himself, or
Rach, would you keep your balloon going longer than you should, just out of niceness?
Probably. I would probably never agree to be a part of a social experiment like this.
That's a good
point. I
think
stuff like this, I feel like the like men versus women, like, oh, you're horrible. No, you're horrible, has been so exacerbated by social media, especially X. I don't know if you guys notice on Twitter, like the way men talk about women and women talk about men, it's very, very toxic. And maybe it's just, you know, the things that I've seen and then I linger on it too long, so it keeps feeding it to me. But stuff like that is like upsetting. I think it's...
Is it the younger generations or is it across the board?
I think
it's more our age.
Get out.
I think it's more
like
older.
For example, what kind of stuff?
Just the most basic generalizations you could make in a negative way.
The bear thing was a big example of that, which I know people are like, oh, that's not the point.
Yeah.
But it kind of turned into a very toxic element of why, like, women are like, men are the worst, and women and men were like, women are the worst. I think what there is that both men and women are human, and human nature is the worst.
Yeah, that's a great point. But like JD Vance's comments about like the childless cat lady, that is just like a direct result of the kind of discourse you see online all the time. I mean, people make comments like that all the time online. I don't hear it much in real life. I don't know if I know men and women who feel this way and they just keep it to themselves, but I see it online. And it's just yucky.
You have to constantly remind yourself that
it's
like,
not real.
But like Twitter is such a representation of it's like I think there are something like 40 million Americans that use it daily. There's like 100 million people that have accounts.
And isn't it like 3% are political, but they're doing 90%
exactly
of the posts?
Correct.
But that's it. That's why
exactly
it's
right.
You can say, well, not that many people are on it, but the people who are on it are important and they are reading
but
other
even a
comments.
Small, a small percentage of the people on it. So like not that many people are on it. Even a smaller percentage, like 3 or 4% are on it all the time.
And they're the ones posting
most of the content.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to remind yourself that, though, because I'm on there every day, all day for sports stuff or for show stuff or whatever. And you do have to remember that, like, 75% of Americans are not even on the app.
How much of the time do you have to bite your tongue?
All the time. But I have an easy rule to follow, though. I'm only doing sports and fun stuff. I don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to jump in sometimes?
Nope. I mean, you always have the instinct. You'll see something, you're like, that's ridiculous. But then I'm like, nope, not picking a fight.
That's impressive.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.